You're listening to a podcast of APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio program. APA Compass airs at 9 a.m. on the first Friday of every month at www.kboo.fm, and our archives are downloadable at kboo.fm/APA Compass. Join our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio, or follow us on Twitter. If you'd like to contact us, we can be reached at apacompass@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to APA Compass. I'm Sarika Mehta, and today we hosted a roundtable discussing the extensive research that's been done over the past few years on people of color in Multnomah County, Oregon. This was a research partnership of the Coalition of Communities of Color and Portland State University. The 2009 report, entitled Communities of Color in Multnomah County, An Unsettling Profile, was published by Ann Curry Stevens of Portland State University and the Coalition of Communities of Color after 2 years of intensive research. Communities of color make up 26.3% of Multnomah County's population. The report details the deep racial disparities between whites and communities of color with respect to education, income, unemployment, homelessness, and even civic engagement, among many other attributes. Last month, a report specific to the Asian Pacific Islander community was published by the same coalition. Our roundtable guests included Ann Curry Stevens, assistant professor in the School of Social Work at Portland State University; Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons, the current coordinator for APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon; and June Arima Schumann, the current co-chair of the board of directors for APANO, as well as a past executive director for the Oregon Nikkei Endowment and helped found the Oregon Nikkei Legacy Center. June began our discussion by detailing the background of this report.
The Coalition of Communities of Color's intention was to build a strong coalition across various communities of color in Multnomah County. And one of the earliest goals of the organization was to prepare a credible, well-researched data about the six distinct communities of color in Multnomah County as a basis for policy advocacy. Often when we go and meet with policymakers and political leaders, those of us in the communities of color are faced with having to do a lot of education about the communities that we represent. And so this report was to close that gap. And when we walk in, we wanted to have a document that says, this is who we are. This is the data that describes the condition as well as numbers of our community. The API report that we're going to be talking about today is one of six reports about the specific ethnic communities. The others are Native American, Latino, African American, Africans, and Slavic communities. And so this is a very comprehensive effort to provide a very well-researched, comprehensive information about the communities of color. Now, about the API report that we're going to be talking about, the reason why it is so significant is that the API population has grown significantly during the past decade. The 2010 census report has the Asian Americans growing by 40% and the Pacific Islanders growing by 68%. It is the second largest growing segment of Oregon's population, following Latino population. That is the fastest growing segment of our population. The report includes discussion about 27 distinct ethnic API communities. That is a huge number of communities that have very different histories, cultures, languages, and political affiliations. So needless to say, report is very complicated, comprehensive, and it is 220 pages long. So it's a long read for anyone who wants to know quickly Who are the API? They are going to have to invest a little more time than 5 minutes. What I also want to say about this report is that it's been a very much a community engaged process in terms of defining the scope, the breadth, the validity, the authenticity of the data, the analysis and interpretation. All have had very strong involvement by members of the API community. And so we see this as a very significant effort by not only the community coalition of communities of color, but also the API community as represented through the Asian Family Center and APANO.
Anne then described the socioeconomic features of the API community in Multnomah County, as well as the disparities between the distinct API communities.
Been quite startling findings in our research. The first, as your listeners may know, is that at the national level, in many measures, the Asian community outperforms whites on issues of income, education, occupation, wealth, assets, those kinds of important economic conditions and educational conditions. We did not find that here. In most cases, the situation facing the local API community does not reach that of whites and is in fact quite markedly the community here is quite markedly poorer, has had less educational success, is more challenged in unemployment and in gaining jobs that reflect educational levels that they have. And some of the specific barriers are issues of recognizing foreign credentials, in supports in education, in supports in language acquisition, and as we've tried to explain and understand these disparities, we've ended up in a similar way to the conclusions reached in other community reports that institutional racism and its corollary of white privilege play a much more dramatic effect here than they do at the national scene.
So that really debunks a lot of the myths and misconceptions that people have about Asian and Pacific Islanders. Why do you think this is the case that Multnomah County is so different from the rest of the country?
Absolutely. When we released our first report, which was a composite of what's happening for communities of color, we knew this story was starting to become apparent. And we really anticipated that when we dug into this report, we'd find out that the issue was much more about the composition of the community. It would be much more because of issues related to language, issues related to the composition in terms of how many refugees were here, how many were newer arrivals, those kinds of more more logical, more palatable explanations. And when we dug into that, we found that that was not the case. So we actually, compared to the national averages, have more domestically born folks from the API community. We have fewer new arrivals than the national level. We do have significantly more refugees. We were able to investigate at significant detail the experience of the Vietnamese community, which is one of the largest in the API population. When we compared their experiences compared to the national Vietnamese community, we actually ended up having significantly worse experiences here in Multnomah County. So even within a community that should face similar situations locally compared to nationally, the same community, we found significantly worse disparities here. And so in that analysis, as we look to explaining variables that we really thought would explain with that more palatable explanation, we weren't able to find a justification that made sense to us. We've ended up asserting, and the data really does support, that the dynamics of institutional racism and white privilege have not been tended to well in this region, have not been tended to historically, and that continue to plague a community that has overall at the national scene done much better than we're doing here.
Absolutely. And you and June, you both touched on the issue of institutional policies. I'll turn to Joseph. Institutional policies which treat the API community harshly have been a part of the history since the mid-1800s, especially as we heard in the previous interview. Could you explain the concept of institutional racism for our listeners and how that damaged the well-being of communities of color?
So while most people generally think about racism as an act between individuals, the most profound forms of racism really reside within institutions that perpetuate and reinforce disparities along racial lines. That public policies can create institutional racism by increasing racial profiling and creating barriers to public benefits, whether intentional or not. And so what we know is that here in this community, many communities of color, and specifically the API communities, face real barriers to equal opportunities and equal access to the services that our institutions provide, particularly public institutions. So again, institutional racism is really about racial bias within institutions such as schools and government, and that disparate outcomes reveal this type of institutional racism, whether or not there is racist intent on the part of individuals. The institutions are ultimately accountable and responsible.
In that case, then, what are, I mean, to look at the opposite side of it, what are some of the bright spots in the report's findings, or were there any?
Some of the bright spots is that locally, education's a fascinating arena. The overall composite of how the API community is doing has been making some gains. And in fact, at the for those students that are graduating today, they slightly outperform whites, although that gap has been narrowing. That said, we were able to look at, we were able to pull apart and disaggregate what's happening in the education system by language within the API community. And when we looked at that, and this has been a message that the community has been quite relentless and assertive in saying, it's not okay just to look at us as one big group, but rather to see how various communities within this larger composite are doing. And so that's been a message that's been quite relentless, has been an important advocacy agenda. And so when we pulled apart that data and looked at the achievement scores of how different communities within the API composite are doing, we found massive inequities in terms of how the community's doing. When we looked specifically at reading skills, reading and literature skills, we found that only three of our communities were outperforming those of whites. 17 of them were performing above average, sort of how's the average score doing? And 10 were performing below, and in many cases, very far below an acceptable level of performance in the school boards. And so this disaggregation has let us say, okay, we now need to do very much more targeted, specific interventions. We need to draw forth the wisdom of the community, and we need to be accountable back to the community for this type of progress. So in most cases where we found a couple of bright spots, we ended up, when we looked at them in greater depth, there was a much more complex story to be told. And it's interesting to note that the Portland Public Schools Racial Educational Equity Policy, which is a wonderful commitment from the school board to say we are committed to making sure that one's identity no longer has an impact on whether one succeeds or not at school. It's a great policy statement. But in the discourse about the API community, the model minority myth was retained, and the community was not included in that naming of specific communities that needed attention. And so in that dynamic, and this report has let us say, okay, composite measure might be doing okay, but we have very dire needs that need significant and immediate attention.
Absolutely. So since this report has been published, what is some of the impact that we've seen from it? What are some of the goals that you had that you've been able to achieve or that you're on your way to achieving? Joseph?
Sure. So in addition to the racial equity policy at Portland Public Schools, we've seen a real effort by the city of Portland to begin to take equity into their funding decision-making as a criteria for how dollars are being allocated, our public tax dollars are being allocated. And that we're seeing other initiatives happening in other local jurisdictions as we begin to present the report to other policymakers within our local governments.
I'll add to that the importance of supports for civic engagement that include abilities to naturalize, to gain citizenship, expanded supports for language acquisition, and the related piece around recognition of foreign credentials so that the many immigrants and refugees who arrive here with significant experience will be affirmed and included in the labor market as opposed to maintaining a stance of exclusion.
Another example of a bright spot is for the API communities to really have accurate data to measure the success of their effort. And one such example would be in the civic engagement area with voter participation. Back in 2004, API voting in Oregon was at 48%. APANO became active about 4 or 5 years later. So in 2008 election, the voting rate for the API population was 61%. That's a significant increase. 61% still is not a very good picture from a point of view of civic engagement. We'd rather see closer to 100%,
right,
you know, for all the registered voters and people who are eligible to vote. Nonetheless, from less than half to becoming over 50%, over 60% is a good measure. So that gives great heart to the volunteers who do all of the work on voter registration and get out the vote work each year.
Excellent. And if I'm not mistaken, this report was presented to some of the elected officials in our county and in Portland, in the city of Portland. Can you talk about that?
Sure. We've done the report to the city council. We're anticipating a similar report to Multnomah County Commission sometime soon. One of the startling reaction from the city council was the incredibleness of the data they heard, that they could not believe that things could be so bad for the Asian and Pacific Islander communities that were more similar to the other communities of color. And what that means is that our elected officials, like many of us, have bought into the myth that API population is doing okay, that their policies and their funding didn't really have to emphasize services for the API community. Well, what they have to do now is there's no denial of the data that's been presented. And so the API community has to be part of the picture when they make decisions.
We've talked about how Multnomah County fares against other communities nationally. What about King County, which is host to Seattle? It's our neighbor, and it's a similar culture and region very close by. How does Multnomah County API community compare with King County's?
In every measure we looked at, the dynamics here are worse. And the outcomes are generally between 10 and as high as 35% worse. Issues of income, education, occupation, child poverty, housing access, all of these areas are major indicators of well-being are have been significantly worse here. We had anticipated that there would be greater parallels with the northern west coast.
Finally, our panel gave us their closing remarks.
Several opportunities that folks could connect in person. We will be doing additional public presentations on the report to Multnomah County Public Schools. We'll also be really working to build our political voice in the 2012 elections, and folks can join our efforts to close the gap and lift up our communities through voter registration, ballot parties, and our multilingual Get Out the Vote efforts. And then lastly, we're going to be having actually a voter engagement training on Saturday, April 14th at 1 o'clock. You can learn more at apano.org. And we'll have a State of Cultural Competency Community Forum on June 2nd, addressing health equity issues at PCC Southeast Center.
Thank you, Joseph. Anne?
I'll make a global statement that when we improve the well-being and the health of those that are struggling the most, we make this region a better place for all of us to live.
Thank you. June.
For those of listeners who may not be in Multnomah County area, this report, you may wonder the relevance to the rest of the state. Multnomah County in Washington County has 70-75% of the API population. And so this report is a reflection of the large segment of our state's population of the Asian and Pacific Islanders. So the findings are likely to apply as well to the rest of the state in terms of the patterns that we see.
And Joseph and June, thank you so much for joining us in the studio and being on our show and for sharing your insight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to a panel discussion of the 2009 report entitled Communities of Color in Multnomah County, An Unsettling Profile, and the findings specific to the Asian Pacific Islander community here in our area. I've been speaking with Ann Curry Stevens, Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons, and June Arima Schumann. To learn more about this report and the organization, you can visit coalitioncommunitiescolor.org. I'm Sarika Mehta, and you're listening to APA Compass on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.